We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Wendy's famous 4-for-4 is heating up with a new spicy crispy chicken sandwich. The queen of spice is delivering that spicy chicken you love with lettuce and mayo between two deliciously soft buns. And yes, in classic 4-for-4 fashion, you can get all that spicy goodness with spicy or crispy nuggets, fries, and a drink to cool off, all for just $4. Is it getting hot in here? Or did Wendy's just deliver the hottest deal in fast food? We got you.
Offer includes 4-piece nuggets, junior fry, and value drink. Price of participation may vary.
For muscle pain, body aches, to strains, Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis. It works fast and you won't stink. Its unique formula with emu oil penetrates deep to relieve arthritis pain, sore muscles, joints, and more.
Basement Water Stoppers has seen too many homeowners incur too much stress and thousands of dollars in damages in their basement with the recent storms and power outages. Don't wait months on end for other waterproofers to get an inspection of your basement and get repairs. Call Basement Water Stoppers today. We're out within 72 hours, and we'll educate you on exactly what you'll need to get a dry basement. Call today. We're out tomorrow. Basement Water Stoppers, 888-426-3074, 888-426-3074, or visit basementwaterstoppers.com.
Sorry for the mess, neighbor. We're remodeling.
Totally get it.
Hey, close the door. This is why our energy bill is higher than yours.
You know, ComEd makes it easy to save money and energy. We got an instant rebate on a smart thermostat. It keeps us comfortable while reducing energy costs.
Nice. I'm going to call you Captain Kilowatt.
Close the door.
For more savings from the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program, visit ComEd.com/home savings. ComEd, powering lives. Funded in compliance with state law.
Navien tankless water heaters, the proven leader in condensing technology. Request a Navien because you deserve the best in endless hot water delivery. Learn about Navien's condensing tankless water heaters and find a Navien contractor at tanklessmadesimple.com.
Count on Navien.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score, home of Mullion Hall, Chicago's sports morning show, 5 to 9 a.m., live from the Hyundai Studios. We are WSER and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, a radio.com sports station. The Score!
And this hour on The Score is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Here we go!
Afternoons on The Score.
I mean, can we just get to the playoffs already? Man, Cubs, best team in baseball. Let's go. They're on a roll.
It's like, all right, let's get to the playoffs.
There's a swing and a drive, right field, down the line, deep. That ball is going to be gone. A home run. Anthony Rizzo with a line drive, a screaming liner. Rizzo's fourth of the year, and the Cubs have the lead, 1-0.
Juggernaut.
Yeah, it's a juggernaut, bitch.
It's just on this runaway freight train. 4 days off in the middle of the season. No big deal.
Cody swings, line drive, base hit in the right field. One run is in as Baez scores. Hap racing home. He will score. Two-run single by David Bodie.
Facing a team that has the best, you know, top-to-bottom pitching staff in baseball. No big deal. Just hang a crooked number on the board. No problem.
Bryant, it's a high fly ball deep left field. This ball is back toward the wall. It's got a chance. Gone. The wrist is fine, thank you. And the Cubs lead 5-1.
Guys having breakout seasons left and right. Guys,
you knew it all along, Danny.
Yeah. This is really entertaining baseball they're playing.
Yeah, they are playing entertaining baseball. A lot of good vibes, babe, coming from the Cubs clubhouse.
Now the 2-1 pitch, bounce toward the middle. That's gloved by Baez. Steps on second, throws to first. Low dugout by Rizzo. Double play, and the Cubs win the ball game.
Good vibes, babe.
Get on the train. The big blue train.
Train cap a rolling all night long. Train cap a rolling all night long. Train cap a rolling all night long. With a
and I'm the conductor. Yo, saddle up, lock and load.
The McNeil and Parkin Show, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
It is damn fun when the train gets rolling like that. And just everybody get out of the way. The big blue train blitzing through Cleveland for a couple of easy ones against the decimated Indians. Cubs catching the Indians at a fine time when they've been misbehaving and they have to park a couple of their best pitchers so the Cubs can go to work. We're glad you're with us. The train keeps rolling for us today. Parkins is out for the day. Mark Grody is on in his stead. And Grody, I know you share my fondness for Aerosmith. I prefer their version of Train Kept a Rollin' to that of the Yardbirds many years prior. And I'm in an Aerosmith kind of mode today. Aerosmith was on the box today. I heard a ton of the score today. You see, I've put 400 miles on my truck today going to look at an RV with a buddy down south of Indianapolis in Shelbyville, I believe is the name of the burg down there, looking at a trailer possibly as an acquisition, a summer toy. And heard tons of good conversation today about baseball. My buddy Vans and I had a ton of great conversations about guy things. We talked a little football and some things adjacent to football I want to get into with you in a little bit. Music, of course, a part of it. I'm glad you're here today. We're a little bit short. They're going to make us stop talking, at least on the air, at 5:15 tonight for Cubs-Brewers pregames. But glad you're here today, buddy. Thanks for working on short notice.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm glad. Hi, everybody. It's great to be here. Hey, the Cubs actually beat a pretty good pitcher last night in Carlos Carrasco. They made a really good pitcher look pretty bad last night for 4 1/3 innings. So you actually did beat a real guy despite the shortages that the Cleveland Indians have right now. And I'm glad that Chris Tannehill in that opening played the David Bote two-run single because, yeah, I love the Rizzo line shot of a home run with his big banging chains running around the bases and Chris Bryant's 430-foot home run. But I'll take a 3-2, two-out line drive into right field any day. And that's what the David Bote show did last night. Nice to have him kind of back on. It was a lost year for that guy last year.
Yeah, it was not a banner year for him, and he's been taking advantage of the opportunities he's been given. So you're always happy to go to the Bote Show.
Well, Bote rhymes with Grody, so, you know.
Ooh, yeah.
We have that, and we'll always have that.
Yes, yes, you will always have that. You know, Kyle
Bote Show.
Yes. Kyle Hendricks goes six good innings last night to pick up his third win of the year. His whip is .99. And I heard Spiegs today telling Ian Happ, the Cubs center fielder, how much he enjoys watching Kyle Hendricks pitch and how he's enjoyed his conversations about pitching over the years. And just 20 minutes or so ago, I hear Lawrence talking about how much he's looking forward to seeing Yu Darvish pitch tonight. And it's funny those conversations came up because this was in my notes early this morning. One of the things I wanted to talk about with this staff that has done so very well early on this year, which Cubs pitcher, and then there's a conversation about Hendricks adjacent to it, but which Cubs pitcher in the rotation do you get most excited about when it's his turn? Who's the guy you definitely want to be sitting in front of your television when it's first pitch time?
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Dan.
Is it Hendricks for you, or is it Darvish? Is it Lester? Who you got?
I thought it was going to be Tyler Chatwood until his last start. Like, for the first time this year in his start previous to the one that he actually makes tomorrow, I thought it was going to be Chatwood this year, and then he got knocked all over the place. So, I don't know. It's funny, man. Like, I love when it gets to Hendricks. I love watching him pitch, but honestly, he's not somebody that I get excited to watch. And I'm probably guilty of being someone that is more intrigued and excited when it's a velocity type of guy. I don't get excited when it's Yu Darvish. Honestly, I'm still nervous about Yu Darvish every time he pitches. There's been more damage than good still in Yu Darvish's career. We're getting closer to a point where he's evened it out, but I still think he throws too many pitches in games, and I'm nervous watching him despite the fact that he does have a .212 earned run average this year. So, Dan, it was Chatwood,
okay.
And now I don't have an answer for you. Who is it for you?
You think similarly to the way I look at it. I want a home run hitter on the mound. I want a guy who might entertain me by striking out 15 hitters, a Kerry Wood type, and you don't get that. I mean, Hendricks gets his strikeouts, But he's the inducer of soft contact. He's the baffler. He's the crafty. And yes, right-handers can be crafty. I've heard you say that before, and I agree with you 100%. It's not exclusive to left-handers. Crafty right-handers who don't overwhelm you with their power. And, you know, in his case, a guy who looks like a librarian. He's not the kind of guy who intimidates anybody. And he's been a model of consistency. Bless him for as good as he's been over the last 5 years. He's been terrific. But for me, I would rather see Yu Darvish go because I know I have the potential for something that might. I know Hendricks has flirted with real good long games too. Look at the way they opened the season with him. Complete game shutout this year. He's taken a no-hitter deep into ball games before, but I don't anticipate that as much as I do a guy who is capable of just knocking down hitter after hitter after hitter with strikeout stuff. And Mark Burley was in many ways a left-handed Kyle Hendricks. He was not a guy who was going to overpower you. He was a guy who was perfect. We loved going to the games when Burley pitched for the White Sox because you knew it was going to be all about business and you weren't going to stand there watching a pitcher wait forever to get his damn sign. He's going to get the ball. He's going to get his sign. He's going to throw the damn ball and you're out of there in 2.5 hours. That was one of the great. But Burley's one of those guys for me on a personal level, just knowing him a little bit and his demeanor, his appearance, he's like the goofballs I run with at my local neighborhood saloons in Northwest Indiana. He's the pull my finger guy, where right. Kyle Hendricks right. is the Ivy Leaguer. So, but Burley similar in that you might get you're gonna get a no hitter. You got to get a perfect game out of him a couple years after that. But again, you don't have the overwhelming fastball. You don't have the high strikeout numbers. You get guys to hit a ton of ground balls, and they're very effective, and you win because of that. But I sign up for the guys who are capable of just embarrassing the crap out of the opposition. I want high strikeout guys.
Mac, this is Kyle Hendricks' seventh year with the Cubs. And honestly, just about every time he goes out there and pitches well, I am still saying, how the hell is this guy doing that? How is he able to do that? Because everybody wants to compare him to Greg Maddux. And I get it. But he's mm-hmm. not Greg Maddux. Maddux was way better. Greg Maddux threw with more of a, like, Maddux had velocity, believe it or not. Somehow that gets tucked away that he didn't have velocity. Yeah, Maddux had some normalcy in that. He had, you know, crazy command of the corners when umpires sort of allowed that a little bit more. So there's a similarity in plate command that Kyle Hendricks has with him, but it's a devastating changeup that Kyle Hendricks uses. The curveball has been in play more this year. And honestly, I think part of why he is so successful, and man, he's been really successful, is that batters, for some reason, and this works in his favor, it's his dirty little secret, that they still don't take him completely seriously and don't, I don't want people to get that twisted. He is respected, and sure. people know
not feared,
what Kyle
though.
Hendricks.
But you fear feared. Grounding out to the third right. baseman meekly. You don't fear getting yes. hit in the hip by one of his errant efforts.
But, Mac, baseball players in this generation, in this day and age, where it is all about hitting the ball over the wall, they're like, oh, yeah, this guy's throwing, what, 89, 90 on his fastball? This is going to be my day. This is going to be a 4-for-5 day. Wrigley Field, come on. So I still think that as much intel as there is about every single pitcher and what Kyle Hendricks is going to try to do to you, these guys are salivating when they go up against Hendricks, and it's a bad idea. It's a bad idea because then they do get over-anxious, and then they are looking ridiculous, and their brain goes in a blender when that changeup comes.
Yeah, the Cubs with their win last night, Grody, bumped the record to 12-3. They have a 5.5-game lead on the 8-10 Cincinnati Reds in the National League Central. They've played 15 games, and it's time to start looking at magic number possibilities in the weird COVID 60-game baseball season that likely won't even see 60 games. It would be surprising if anybody gets to 60, but they are just – they've built themselves such a sweet cushion. That's why interruptions right now, and we'll get into the White Sox in a little bit as well here, and we'll talk about both the Cubs and White Sox with John Morosi, our regular Thursday Major League Baseball insider from MLB Network. He'll join us at 3 o'clock today. We'll get into both with him, but you want to keep the momentum going. You don't want any stoppages, and fortunately, the Cubs and Brewers tonight at Wrigley Field, you're going to see – Darvish faced them early or later, late in July, and was a loser. Didn't pitch particularly well against them. We last saw Darvish, I believe, 8 days ago, holding a pretty limp Kansas City lineup to just one run in seven innings of work. And Brett Anderson, who was supposed to pitch against the Cubs for the Brewers the second game of the season, missed that start because of a blister on his finger. He will pitch, but I'm going to ride the hot hand. I'm going to keep betting the Cubs. I don't even know what the numbers are. I haven't looked at Bovada, but I know we're up. It's good to win a few yesterday. We had both the White Sox and Cubs, and in the spirit of Mr. Parkins, I expect you to jump in with some wagering thoughts today, even though, you know, you can join us when we have our next Shellfish Tower. You're always welcome to do that, but jump in and offer me some advice, too, and I need advice on betting the Hawks and Knights tonight. But I note that I won't bet against the Hawks. Maybe it's time to park the total. We've been losing the last couple of totals on Hawks and Golden Knights. But it's good to see them continue get right back out there. Now we got the White Sox got to wait a couple of days before they get a doubleheader against the Cardinals, who had another infection. An infection on the coaching staff. So the Cardinals' season remains on hold.
That's amazing, man. I don't know what to think about that anymore. As specifically as it pertains to the Cubs. I am taking what they are doing seriously. That is the Cubs. I'm enjoying the hell out of it. It does feel, in terms of the big lead they're getting in the division and the way they're playing, they're getting starting pitching defense and tacking on runs late in the game. It does look, there is some similarities to 2016 in those regards. But when the team that was perceived as by many as the best in the division at the beginning of the year has played five games to the Cubs 15 games and they've got that and they haven't stepped on a field since July 29th, I no longer know what to think about this season and how it plays out and what the integrity of it is. Like, do I just block it out and say, just have fun, ride it out, don't worry about it. This is a Cubs. The Cubs deserve this kind of thing to have happen to them just because of all the bad things that have happened in the past. But I don't know how to really look at it anymore when the Cardinals are, I mean, what are they going to do? How does it play out? I have no idea.
It's okay to not know how to feel about it. It's okay to waffle on your feelings. I mean, the feelings aren't right or wrong. They're real. They, you know, and they're capable of shifting. And I've done a roller coaster ride. We're all on the same damn roller coaster globally with this thing. But as sports fans, yeah, it's, when your team is going great, the want is to forget all about reality and just dive in head first and enjoy them every night out. And when the Cubs had their first stoppage recently, when that Cardinals series, it sucked because you want to see them keep going. And now we've got that with the White Sox. We've got the stoppage in play, albeit for one additional day, scheduled day off today, supposed to play tomorrow. Now we get our first taste of seven-inning doubleheaders with one of the locals when they play Saturday. I've done a pretty good job of parking the reality that this thing could be pulled away at any time. And it's easy to do when your teams are going well. It's easy to stay with it. And I admit fully, and I'm not ashamed of it. It's just, you know, again, it's a feeling. I'm a fair weather baseball fan. If my team isn't playing particularly well, if the postseason does not appear in the cards, I'll give up interest. I'll lose interest by the time typically we get to an All-Star break. And that's why it has sucked for so many years. During the years I did the show with Spiegel, Grody, we had 10 baseball teams in those five summers. Two times we had a team with a record above 500, and it was so easy to just wave the flag on both of them and just, God, get us to Bourbon A. Just, you know, that they just and I'm not because preseason football is any great shakes, but it's the reality that football season is right around the corner and you're moving, you know, you can really put baseball in the rearview mirror once the calendar says September. And speaking of which, we are today 1 month away from kickoff, exactly 1 month from right now.
One
month from right now at 2:18. On the 13th of September, a date we're always going to remember. Happy birthday to Terry Bors on that day. We will be watching the Bears and Lions go into the fourth quarter of the lid lifter. And it's going to happen. There's not a doubt in my mind. The NFL, if baseball's doing it, if hockey and the NBA are doing it, the NFL is not going to be denied. I expect stoppages along the way. I expect teams to have massive breakouts and have to suspend business for a little while. But if the Bears or Lions, if both teams are free of a bunch of infections, a month from today, they will kick off, locally for us, the 2020 NFL season, NFC North style.
David Blau will be starting at quarterback for the Detroit Lions that day.
Blau.
By the way, Mac, yeah, Blau. Hey, the Bears were 2-0 against the Lions last year, if you want to start.
David Blau had 200 yards passing in the first half against the Bears on Thanksgiving Day. I think sure about 190 did, yards at the half. He lit
sure
him up
did.
Early.
Club dub.
You're going to club dub this win?
I was a little bit preoccupied as you were talking because I just saw this tweet here, and it is pertaining to exactly what you were just talking about, COVID-19 and keeping yourself right and following the rules. The Seahawks cut rookie cornerback Kemmer Siveron this week after he was caught on video trying to sneak a female visitor, into the team hotel. That is, per sources, clear message on the responsibility of everyone has in the NFL's COVID-19 world. Put the team at risk, suffer the consequences. And that is from Tom Pelissero. So, yeah,
okay.
I mean, these stories, hopefully they will be. I mean, the NFL's been really good so far. I was reading some statistics last night that it's just a tiny percentage of players so far that have tested positive for COVID-19. We know that we have had opt-outs, but yeah, it's once they start touching each other for real, it's going to be really interesting to see what the tests look like, what the positive looks like, and then subsequently how teams handle it. And you know, NFL teams are probably more prepared than other sports organizations to deal with guys leaving, because it's because of the next man up mentality, and injuries are a huge part of the sport. So I think that at the base they're more prepared to handle it, but still, I mean, if you lose 10, 11 guys for a game, then nobody's prepared for that.
Yeah, and you're not gonna play. And you know, I've thought about that too. I've put time into thinking what the NFL is in sports, as much as most sports can be. It's a form of military-like discipline. I think most players and coaches would agree with that. There is a ton of structure to it. There's a ton of discipline that is supposed to come with it. But as we hear about this rookie corner on the Seahawks thinking with something other than his brain, sneaking a woman into the team hotel, and you're going to have to be severe consequences. That's going to be the only way these teams, and you know, I don't know what kind of expectations Seattle has for this guy. I did not hear the name until I saw the tweet a second or two ago. Like you did. I didn't know the name. If that's a first-round pick, if that's a star player, is he getting the same treatment that they gave this first-year guy? I doubt it.
That's interesting. Yeah. Well, see, the problem now for the Seahawks is they just set a precedent. Now they have to. Now you can't leave. Now you have to. The next guy, if Russell Wilson breaks protocol, they have to, right? I mean, wouldn't they be complete hypocrites now? So they have, for better or for worse, the Pete Carroll Seattle Seahawks just set a precedent, right? At least for their organization.
And we have just two Bears, right, who have opted out. Eddie Goldman, the most significant. Yes?
Yes, and Jordan Lucas, the other. Yes, the safety who would have been mainly a special teams guy. The Bears just signed another safety, Marquis Christian, who will be, in essence, the replacement part for Jordan Lucas.
Marquis Christian, no relation to Bobby Christian, the former Northwestern fullback who entered the National Football League of Virgin.
Source.
Yeah, there was a story out of him in the Chicago Sun-Times many years ago. He talked about how I've never had sex with anybody, but when I do, I'm going to have something very special together. Oh.
Christian. That was Bobby Christian?
Bobby Christian, yeah.
It's like, Chuck probably has a lot of respect for A.C. Green, too. Wasn't he the NBA player on the Lakers?
Yes, yes,
who
good call.
Who was a virgin? Yeah.
Put him in the Hall of Fame! Put him in the Hall!
I'm glad you're here to do some NBA. I can't pull any of it out of Parkins lately.
He didn't use his onions until he was in his 30s.
Big time onions.
Oh, no, he kept his onions in his pants.
Again, I want to know how you spell that. When I want to text you that, it's kind of the just a Swirsky breath, just like, you know, just kind of, ooh, how do you spell ooh?
Yeah, so what is it? What is it? So I know, too.
Yeah, I know. We have to come up with, I've given you a few different versions. None of them is like, what are you saying? Question mark, question mark, question mark.
I've told you this before, and I'll tell you it again. Every it triggers me instant giggle when you do that every single time it with me. When I hear you do it, when I hear, ooh, because I don't know what it means.
Thomas Sadoransky.
It's like a mean girl, like looking at an ugly guy going, ooh.
Yeah. You know, coming up on birthday number, next week will be birthday number 35. The first day I started working for Chuck at WGN Radio, my 35th birthday, the 19th of August, coming up next week. Yeah, I guess it'll be next Wednesday.
Wow.
35 freaking years ago already. Many events have happened, but when I interned for Swirsk, when they had just acquired the Bears' rights, man, you talk about timing being sweet. They had just reacquired the Bears' games, and you might know something about those 85 Bears. They were a hell of a lot of fun, and even though it wasn't my station go-to necessarily for entertainment, I wasn't really a Bob Collins guy. I mean, I had a ton of respect for what he did. I was obviously there for the sports part of it. And with the Bears and Cubs being on the station and the Bears in 85, Larrivee was in his first year on the microphone in the Bears booth. That's when Hub would smoke Marlboros with me when you could smoke in the studio. Those were the golden days of Radio Grody.
Wow, man. I would love to see that documentary. The Mac and a young Hub. I'm guessing Hub had long flowing hair back
yes,
then.
Yes, he did.
That sounds about right. Yep.
Yeah, Hub. Full moppage. Yeah, very, very full coif. And Texter, thank you, in the 847. The spelling we're looking for on the Swirsky sound effect is ULLH.
Oh, that's good. Ooh. Yeah. Okay, ooh. For now on, when we text, ooh, let's just do that.
Double L?
Ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh.
Okay. All right. It's in. That's our acronym.
Ooh.
Ooh. Salsa.
John Morosi, 3 o'clock today. Dennis Savard in the National Hockey League Hall of Fame. His jersey number 18 hangs from the rafters in the United Center. He's going to give us some Hawks and Golden Knights inside at 3:40 today. And hopefully we get a hold of Ron Coomer and talk to him before we make way for Cubs pregame. Cubs and Brewers. Later tonight, right here on The Score. Grody is in for Parkins. I'm Mac, and you've got The Score Sports Radio 670.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
70. Glad you're with us. This is Chicago's Sports Radio 670, The Score. I'm Dan McNeil. Mark Grody and I are with you tonight until shortly after 5 o'clock. John Morosi, MLB Network, top of the 3 o'clock hour. Ooh. Former Blackhawks centerman Dennis Savard joins us at 3:40. Game 2, the Hawks and the Las Vegas Golden Knights in their Western Conference quarterfinals. To the first round of the playoffs. Quarterfinal sounds like they've done something. Oh, they're under the quarters. First round. And then we've got Ron Coomer going to join us at 4:30 later today. So I'm curious to see who the other guys on the panel in back at the shop, Tanny and Herb, if he's there, or Shep out in Arlington Heights, who you guys get more excited about when it comes to your starting pitchers. Grody, like me, favors a strikeout guy. Not as excited as some others, like students of the game, like Matt Spiegel. It's his game. He enjoys the Kyle Hendricks, the studious approach. And I appreciate all the guy does. But Spiegel and Kyle Hendricks, I want a guy who might strike out 15 batters. I want that possibility of a Yu Darvish gem. He excites me. Tanny, Shep, who do you guys favor? Both sides of town. Who's the guy that you get excited about when he's getting the ball?
Well, I mean, I do enjoy when Lucas Giolito's out there simply because he's a guy who is just entering his prime and he knows a lot about himself and what it takes for him to succeed. So I like a guy that's sort of starting to figure himself out and who he is and his identity on the mound. But generally speaking, like, I have no problem. I love watching guys who are masters of their craft, guys like Mark Burley, Kyle Hendricks, you know, because at the end of the day, in our game, Mac, pitching is just, it's all about location, changing speeds, and just being one step ahead of the hitter. And it's the ultimate, you know, game of cat and mouse out there. And I love that part of the game so much. So really, you know, you can give me any guy in the world. Like, you know, you saw Carson Fulmer the other night who has all the pitches and all the tools, but he can't put it all together. Like, give me a guy who knows what he's doing out there and knows how to operate every day, you know, surgical, you know, like Kyle Hendricks is. So I like it all, but yeah, give me the guy who knows what he's doing out there, has a plan.
Stoney the other day was talking about how the pitch might be 10 miles per hour different, but it all looks the same, and he calls that tunneling. That's new baseball vernacular for me, how the arm angle always looks the same. The ball is always coming out at the same part. He's just got a different grip on it, but it always looks the same. If you just run the videos up against each other, it's always going to be the same thing called tunneling, and that's impressive. It sure is. And I like the quick games part of it as well. And I suppose it's, you know, what did Crash Davis tell Nuke LaLoosh? Strikeouts are fascist. It's more democratic to get some ground balls every now and again. So I guess. But I like the 15 strikeout guy.
I want to hear what Shep has to say, but I think everybody needs just to cut it out. Cut the crap. Everybody is fooling themselves. It's fun to say that you like to watch the crafty guy pitch. And it is. It's fun. We're all baseball fans. It's good when a guy is good. But what's more interesting coming up, Michael Kopech or Mark Burley? What's more interesting coming through the pipeline, Greg Maddux or Mark Pryor? I think that everybody prefers the guys that can blow people away and are fascinating on the mound, and you only get the phenom title if you could possibly strike out 10 guys when you go out there. So I kind of think people are
crapping us a little bit. Don't crap
me.
Yeah,
I think everybody,
no,
I think,
no.
Yeah. Yeah, well, God bless Spiegel. I love Spiegel, and the guy knows a boatload of baseball. But I think you're trying to be a little bit too cute when you say that you're like the crafty guy. Come on, Spiegs. I know you love Roger Clemens. You love guys like that, the Rocket. Kerry Wood, these are the guys that go down in history, the Nolan Ryans of the world, because we like fast, man. Yes, look, I don't want to downplay what Greg Maddux and, you know, Kyle Hendricks is doing. They're great. You know, Greg Maddux, maybe one of the best pitchers of all time. But what we all like watching is the flashy, and those are the velocity guys. And sometimes I think people are afraid to say that. Like, they feel like they'll lose baseball points if you say, yeah, I just like the guy like Michael Kopech throwing 100 miles per hour. Or Aroldis Chapman throwing 102 on the clock. If you say that, somehow you're not baseball smart, or you don't sound as smart if you allow yourself to say that. So right here, right now, I would like to make it okay for people to say, Yeah, I like the guy that's throwing 100. That's much more interesting than Kyle Hendricks' 89-mile-per-hour fastball and then a really, really cool changeup.
Shep?
I mean, I think Grody's right about that, but the problem comes in if you're a Cubs fan like myself and you're saying you like the big strikeout guy, who is it that you have to go with? Because Yu Darvish is the only one that kind of applies to that right now. I guess Tyler Chatwood before his last start, if you're going to go with three-game sample size. But there's not really that huge strikeout guy. I mean, at the end of the day, you like the guy that gets a lot of outs and the guy that makes it look easy. And sure, if Mark Pryor would have lived up to what he was supposed to be, or if Kerry Wood's injuries don't happen in 1998 and he's able to turn that over a few times in his career instead of just doing it once or twice, then it's a different story. But the Cubs just really have not had that guy. Zambrano probably the closest thing for any lengthy amount of time.
Yep.
Darvish is supposed to be that. So, yeah, the idea of having one is great, but if you're going just with this rotation, I mean, for a guy in Hendricks that throws 8 miles an hour slower, 9 miles an hour slower than the guys at the top of that rotation or the guys coming out of the bullpen to do what he does, that is entertaining to watch to me. A guy that's not a threat for eight, just pound the strike zone, pound the strike zone, let them make contact, and just let batters get themselves out. That's the best of the options. I mean, he's the best pitcher on this team, and he's my favorite to watch because of it.
Zambrano was so exciting on many levels. You never knew what you were getting with that guy. His elevator didn't stop on all floors. On the bases, he could do something goofy. At the plate, he could do something amazing.
Throw the umpire out of a game.
Yeah, I love Carlos. To your point about power pitchers, the summer of Danny Woo Woo, 1998, and Grody, you remember that very, very well. And Shep, you'll recall this also. After the trade deadline, when the Astros made the move for Randy Johnson and the Cubs and Astros were battling for the top of the division, they had a Saturday matinee that was scheduled late in August. It was going to be on Fox. It was a noon game at Wrigley Field, and I had tickets for it, and that's Danny Woo Woo's summer, so I got seats right down by the Cubs bullpen near my guys, you know, Rod Beck and Terry Adams and Terry Mulholland, and Kerry Wood was supposed to face Randy Johnson. And Wood, that was the first start. It might have been the first start he missed in his big league career. Get used to that. Time for a towel drill early on. Do you remember who the Cubs started that day? It's a national broadcast game. All the excitement all week. And then Friday afternoon, it's announced that Kerry Wood's not going to be able to go. In his stead, who was it who the Cubs trotted out for that nationally televised game? 98?
Did they experiment with Les Lancaster?
No, Les Lancaster, I think, had left the reservation by then.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was Don Wingert. Do you remember the game named Donnie Wingert? Yeah, Donnie Wingert got that.
Wow.
But it was like you talk about disappointment going from the veteran left-hander who's 6'10", freakishly, and throws it 100, and the kid from Texas, Kerry Wood, and the anticipation of that game was just enormous. But, that's what I sign up for. I want to see the guys who are going to put on a show and embarrass the crap out of the opposition.
I want to clarify something, too, because I'm getting a lot of heat on the text line over this. I'm not saying that I would have you – like, if we're doing the whole who would pitch game one of the playoffs when the Cubs are in the playoffs, and we're actually getting pretty close to that moment where we could start to make a Cubs playoff pitching rotation,
yeah.
I would say Kyle Hendricks should probably be the first guy up. I think Kyle Hendricks should have been the opening day starter, which he was this year. The question was, who do you most look forward to watching in any
That's
given
right.
game on any fifth day? I want to see the guy with the high velocity who could possibly do something spectacular on any given day. Is Kyle Hendricks the best pitcher in the Cubs starting rotation? 100%. Yes. He is the guy on whom I depend most. And if the playoffs started today, I would want him pitching in every single big game. But that was not the question. The question is, I thought it was more of a what type of guy do you like pitching, Mac? And maybe I'm mischaracterizing you, but yeah. All of a sudden my baseball credibility has been called into question.
You know what? That's one of those snobs. I see one of the texts you're probably referring to, a 563 texter, Mark. That is the difference between a casual baseball
yes.
fan like yourself.
That pissed me off.
And a true baseball fan. Okay, Mr. True Baseball Fan, bite me.
Yeah, student, you got me.
Student but, and that's to just, the game. It's entertainment, damn it.
That's what I'm talking about, too. Like, I sometimes think that baseball fans in particular like to impress you by talking about the minutia. And I can do the minutia all day with you. I watch most Cubs and White Sox games. I get it. I understand it. The subtleties of baseball. I get it all, man. I understand. But sometimes it's okay to say you like the popular song. It's okay to say you want to go to McDonald's for dinner. It's okay to go to the Cheesecake Factory. It's okay to like velocity and have it in your life and say it, and that you don't want situational baseball and you don't want a manager making matchups every 2 seconds. It's okay to say that. Sometimes I think baseball fans try to outsmart the room when sometimes the easy thing to do is just to say what it is, that hitting a 3-run homer is the best thing to happen right here in this situation.
We have some Cubs news as we talk baseball, and this was leading into a topic I wanted to get to anyway, because we're talking about what's popular and what's not popular. What's always very, very popular early on when Chris Bryant was a rookie of the year, and the next year when he's MVP and wins a World Series. Last year, the popularity in some places slipped,
and it has slipped this year more. He is out of the lineup again tonight with wrist and ring finger soreness.
KB.
So Chris Bryant, who was earlier, they'd posted a lineup, and he was leading off and playing third base, and now he is a scratch for tonight's game against the Brewers. Go ahead, Shep. Give me the punchline. No worries. He didn't hit against the Brewers last year anyway, right?
Right, yeah. And you're going to get more out of the lineup from Nico Hoerner against the Brewers than Bryant hit against them last year in the first three games of this season there. All right, ring finger. Your ring finger okay today, Mac? I know you were looking at an RB earlier. Everything okay when you're dialing
hey,
the
phone?
Hey,
I'm the last guy to criticize a man for missing a day's work. I want to follow up with you on this thought, and I want you to talk – I want you to share with the other fellows who don't know this. Grody and Tanny are not hip to it. And share with, more importantly, the listeners, what you texted me last night during the Cubs game about number 17. We'll get to that in a few minutes. Grody's in for Parkin. Shep is next as he continues to want to be all things counterculture on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Chris, how's your wrist doing after that diving play in left field earlier?
I'm okay. Yeah, I'm fine. I mean, it doesn't feel great, but it's what happens when you dive in the outfield. A lot of the time is you're rolling your wrists all over, and you're not playing out there too often. I just try to make the most of it. I thought I caught it, but, you know, apparently I didn't. Whatever.
My lift to rip.
Chris Bryant, not in the lineup tonight. For the Cubs. Cubs and Brewers tonight, 6:15. It starts. Pregame show with Zach Zaidman, 5:15 tonight, right here on your home for Cubs baseball, Sports Radio 670. The Score. Mark Grody is in for Danny Parkins today. Our executive producer, Nick Shepkowski, last night in the sixth inning. Cubs were leading, what, it was 4-1 or 5-1 at the time, and with two outs, Bryant delivers a solo home run, his second of the year. And I'm reaching for my phone to send a sarcastic comment, Grody, to Mr. Shepkowski about Bryant getting involved in the game, because he's become a very harsh critic of good old number 17. And by golly, Shep beat me to it. And it's a question of whether Chris Bryant is a tough guy, I think, is what is looming largest here. And it's already growing before I've just tossed this out as a topic. There are people texting us at 312-644-6767 and saying this is why it's becoming frustrating to hang with this guy and want to see the Cubs have a future with him, is because this is where you want to bury the Milwaukee Brewers, and he comes up lame and is out of the lineup tonight. So Bryant is not going to play. And Grody, before I bring in Shep, where are you on your level of patience, if that's the right word for it, with Chris Bryant, who's off to a slow start? He's only got 46 official at bats. He's 9 out of 46. His batting average is, what, 198 or so? His on-base percentage right around 315. He's hit two home runs.
I've always had a lot more patience than I think this show in general has had, or maybe specifically should just say Shep. So, yeah, no, I do. I have a lot of patience with Chris Bryant. I still think he's a terrific player who is probably got another, you know, MVP or top five in that category at some point in time in his life. So I think I'm quite the converse of what we're probably about to hear from old Sheparuski.
There he is.
Well, it's with Bryant. He's obviously a good player. You look at the old back of the baseball card, and those numbers show up. But he's a guy that it's also maybe it's as simple as just saying that he answers questions more honestly. Maybe that's part of it. But the guy, it's just always something. Now it's his finger and his wrist. Very early on in his career, was very open about how tired he was at the end of 2015, at the end of 16. Oh my God, I'm playing all this baseball, I'm getting tired. It's like, well, sorry, young man. If you look at your schedule and you compare it to what the Dodgers are doing or what other teams across baseball are doing, like, crazy. All teams played 162 games those seasons. It's welcome to what you signed up for. Like, maybe it's just as simple as that he's more willing to kind of be honest and open about when things are tough for him than other players are. But
the Sporting News article last summer bothered you, didn't it?
That's right. That's what it was. I was trying to remember what it was. But, of that part of being kind of that open of, it was so exhausting to win a World Series, and then you make a 2 or 3 year excuse because of it? Like, that was bizarre to me. That was strange to me, and it's a guy that I do think that, yes, he's still good. I would be surprised if we see anything around the level of, like, Chris Bryant at that 2016-ish level again, because he hasn't really touched that since.
Yeah, I while his OPS last year certainly was really, really good, the numbers against the teams he had to beat in the division were terrible. That's Milwaukee and St. Louis, and that's a fact. The back of the baseball card doesn't break that down, but we did for you. In 31 games last year, his on-base percentage was .292 against those two teams. 31 games. Hit two home runs, and I think drove in only 7 or 8 against those two teams. And in the late innings, he hasn't been as reliable as we'd remembered him. But I think with you and with some Cubs fans too, Shep, and I get this, it's a question of whether you think he's mentally tough enough to grind it out all year. Isn't that it?
Well, and that's the weird thing is because it's not about – maybe that's even the wrong word. Because if you think of, the most important player when they won the World Series, they jumped on his back starting in Game 5. He was the best player. He hit the home run that tied the game in Game 5, the go-ahead home run early on in Game 6, and then his base running and his play really all around the field in Game 7. He should have won the MVP of that game. I know Zobrist had the go-ahead RBI, but Bryant had a phenomenal game in that. So it's not like he can't rise to the pressure at times, but he's very open about it, kind of always being something. It's just tired, fatigued, worn out, and it's not something you hear from many other baseball players, and it's just another thing with Chris Bryant of, my fingers hurt. Well, now your back's going to hurt, kid, because you just pulled Blansky on duty.
My fingers hurt.
He's a little sore.
Now your back's going to hurt because you just pulled landscaping duty. Anybody else's fingers hurt? I didn't think so.
John Morosi from MLB Network is going to give us a national perspective on the white heat, red hot Cubs and the White Sox, who can't play until Saturday in St. Louis at the earliest. John's next on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.